the portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning. It is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 27, beginning with the 62nd verse. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go. Make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. This is the gospel of our Lord. Dear friends and our resurrected Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever tried teaching something to someone and they just simply could not understand it? I took Latin for 2.5 years in high school and then another 2 years in college. Part of me thinks that the only reason why I passed those classes in college is because the professors were sick of teaching me. It's not because I knew what I was talking about. I heard what they were saying, but half the things that they were saying I didn't really understand. And the other half, I had a trouble putting them into practice when I was trying to translate the Latin in English. I'm sure you've felt the same way on both sides of the situation. Maybe it was when you're teaching your child how to tie his shoes. Or maybe when you're teaching your kid a little bit older, his math homework. Maybe with Common Core, it was you who are now confused. Or maybe it was when you're trying to break someone in new at work. They listened, they heard what you are saying, but they just didn't understand. Or they understood, they just couldn't put it into practice. We see that today. But the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Jewish rulers in our text for today. You know, on Friday was a good day for those Jewish leaders. They thought that they had succeeded. They got rid of a nuisance. They convinced Pilate to put Jesus to death. But that night, doubt crept into their minds. So on Saturday, the Sabbath day, they went to Pilate and they asked Pilate for a guard. "Can we have some guards guard the tomb and put a seal over the tomb so that the disciples couldn't come and steal Jesus' body and claim that he rose from the dead?" Now why would that idea even pop up into their minds? Why would the Pharisees think that it might even be a possibility that Jesus would rise from the dead after 3 days? Because that's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. The Pharisees told that much to Pilate. They said, "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise from the dead.'" Now, the ironic thing is that when you listen to the Jewish leaders, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and others, they often heard what Jesus said. They understood full well what he was saying. They just didn't believe it. They rejected Jesus. They rejected him as their Lord, the long-promised Messiah. No matter what Jesus said, no matter what Jesus did, they weren't going to believe him. Despite all the proof they had already rejected the Lord. No, hindsight is 20/20, of course. And we can look back at the facts and know that the Jewish leaders were quite foolish to reject Jesus and to doubt his resurrection. But what about us? Sadly, there are times when we doubt God and his word. Not necessarily when it comes to the resurrection, although attacks from the unbelieving world, our own use of reason and logic and science, may lead us to doubt even the resurrection from time to time. But also there's other parts of God's Word. For example, God promises to watch over you, to guard you and protect you, to keep you from all harm and danger, and let no evil befall you. But bad things happen in our lives. Maybe we lose our job when we go through hard financial times. A loved one gets sick. Maybe there's family issues you have to deal with. You know God's promises. You hear what He says in His Word, but you have a hard time believing it because you just don't see it play out in your lives. And you begin to doubt His Word. Or maybe it's a sin you have committed. Horrible, disgusting in your eyes, and you feel bad about it. You repent, but you still feel horrible. You hear God's Word. You understand His promises, that He has forgiven you, but you wonder how God can possibly forgive such a horrible sin, and you doubt whether or not that His forgiveness really applies to you. Now, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Jewish leaders would have been right. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead as He said He was going to, then Jesus would be a deceiver. He would be an imposter, and everything that He said would be pointless. There'd be no reason to listen to His Word. And there's no reason to believe anything that He ever promised. No, anyone can predict they're going to die, because we're all going to die. And if you're going to attack and question those Jewish leaders as Jesus did, you might even have a good idea about when you were going to die. But to prophesy that you are going to rise from the dead 3 days after your death, well, that's a different story completely. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He often pointed not just towards His death, but to His resurrection. Because His death was never the goal, His resurrection was always the goal. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, He's nothing but a liar, a deceiver, an imposter. He did not save us, and there's no reason to listen at all to His Word. Well, that's where the Jewish leaders got it wrong. They hinged their bets that Jesus wouldn't be able to fulfill His Word, that He wouldn't rise from the dead. But as Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And it happened just as Jesus said. It was 3 days after His death, He rose from the dead. Death could not hold Him back. He showed His complete power over death, a power and authority over all things as a Lord and Creator of the universe by rising from the dead. Another ironic thing about those Jewish leaders. Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, as we read earlier today, an earthquake took place. Angels came down from heaven and rolled away the stone. And the soldiers fainted, became like dead men. Well, when they came to, they ran into Jerusalem and told the chief priests and the teachers of the law everything that had happened, and that Jesus actually did rise from the dead just as He said He did. And how did those Jewish leaders react? Here, take some money. They paid him off and told him to start spreading the lie that the disciples came and overpowered them and stole Jesus' body. Now those Jewish leaders heard what the guards said. They understood what they were saying. They were wrong. Jesus actually did rise from the dead. He truly is the Savior of the world who showed power over death just as He said they would. And yet, they didn't really understand what was going on. They had already decided in their minds that they were going to reject Jesus no matter what He said, no matter what He did. So even though they knew the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, they still rejected Him as the Savior. That's why earlier in Jesus' ministry, Jesus applied these words of Isaiah to those Jewish leaders. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. They heard the truth, and yet they rejected Jesus even though he rose from the dead. In an ironic twist, those guards that were at the tomb, the seal that they put around the tomb, set up by those Jewish leaders, God uses for us. It gives us comfort and encouragement. It gives us comfort and encouragement in the fact that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. There's no possibility that the disciples would have been able to overtake and overpower a guard of trained soldiers. The only possible and reasonable explanation is that it happened just as Jesus says it did in his Bible. That he truly did rise from the dead. He truly is our God and Lord. That angels came and rolled away the stone. The disciples believed it too. The disciples dedicated their whole lives, traveling around the world, risking their lives, and in many instances, actually being put to death for spreading the message of the resurrection. If the disciples stole Jesus' body, if it was nothing but a lie and deception, would they have been willing to die for a lie? Of course not. Jesus truly did rise from the dead. It wasn't a trick or a deception. It wasn't just a spirit resurrection, but it was a bodily resurrection. His lifeless body became alive. And he still lives. What then about our doubts and fears that creep up into our minds? Well, they are removed by Christ's resurrection. His resurrection means that we are saved. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead means that God accepted his payment for our sins. That the shedding of his blood on the cross paid the ransom price for our sins. That as he took our sins upon himself and was forsaken by God, he suffered through an eternity of hell on the cross. The perfect life that he lived was credited to us. His resurrection means that we now stand as pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord, and he has already declared us not guilty. There is no sin that Christ did not take upon himself on the cross. Christ paid for the sins of the whole world, each and every one of your sins, no matter how hard, horrible, and horrific they may seem. They were all paid for by Christ on the cross. His resurrection means without a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven. And his resurrection is a guarantee. A guarantee that you will live with him. That you will rise from the dead. Because he lives, you also will live. A guarantee not to be immortal, but a guarantee that you will live even though you die. You see, Jesus is called the first fruits, as we read. The first fruits refers to the first fruit that you harvest, whatever crop it may be, or the first fruit you see in some sort of fruit tree. That first fruit that pops up is a guarantee that there are more and many more fruits to follow for that harvest. Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died and rise again. He is the first, which means there are many more to follow. You and I will follow Christ with a bodily resurrection. Even though we die, Christ will give life to our lifeless bodies. And then together, body and soul, we will dwell in heaven. The perfect life, free from sin and sorrow, with our Lord forever. Now, Christ was able to keep his promise about rising from the dead. If he rose from the dead after 3 days exactly as he said he would, then he is able to keep all his promises. Everything he ever says in his word, every promises he makes, we know he keeps. For he is our God and Savior who never lies and is full of love. His resurrection then is a guarantee of his promises. So we have no reason to doubt any part of his word. There may be a lot of things in your life that we hear and we are taught, but we just don't simply understand. That's the way Jesus' resurrection was for those Jewish leaders. But for us, it's nothing but the sweetest gospel, the most comforting story that we can ever hear. Jesus lived. Rising from the dead after the third day, just as he said he would, we know that he keeps his promises. He won the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil, and that victory is now ours. He lives. And because he lives, we know that we too will live with him in heaven forever. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace and joy that is ours through Jesus' resurrection from the dead be with you and keep you always. Amen.